And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit. Did you hear that line? As we find unity from the Father, same dad, through the Son, blood relatives, and by the Holy Spirit, drinking of the same Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, today, we dive into two extraordinary texts from Isaiah. First one we jump into, it's from chapter 50, and we're going to get there. What do you find out? What do we learn? The Lord helps us in so many ways. He enables us not to hide our faces from others regarding our confidence in him. He enables us to make determinations that will be accomplished. And by his grace, he enables us to be separated from worldly shame and worldly sorrow. Wow. Next, have you ever started with an art project, something along the lines of clay? What does it look like when you start? I just want to say this. Are you better when you do painting? What does it look like when you start the design? Okay, you can follow where I'm going. The clay is just a lump. From the canvas, there's nothing there. It's no different with us. As the object of his artistry, we are nothing when he starts. But in the hands of the greatest artist ever, we become something altogether different. God takes what looks like no value and through his grace creates eternal treasure. Isn't that cool? All right, wait. And then from these portions in Isaiah, we jump into the unbelievable in the book of Jeremiah. He told the people what they needed to do. They told him how to go about, or he told them how to go about finding stability and safety and strength and soundness of life. Now listen to those four S's. Stability, safety, strength, and soundness of life. But the people had a response that is not unlike the response of the world when Jesus calls them out. The response from the world is defiance. The response from people is that we will do as we have done before because that's what we have decided to do and we will not follow your ways. We find out from this text that the people are in their situations because of their prior defiance. Their solution in their minds is continued defiance. Doesn't that sound crazy? I guess it's the same now as it was then.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey, David. Oy, so David.
That's pretty good.
That's not a bad one, huh?
Yeah, not bad at all.
I had a lot of training. I just want to point that out to you guys. You guys just have no idea how much actual training.
A lot of in-home training, right?
In-home, upfront, close, and personal training. Just keep in mind that there's just a lot more going on in the show than you might think. Remember, it's not professional radio. I mean, we've been telling you that for ages. It's just radio.
Two cans?
Yeah, two cans and string. See, it's all it is. All right. We're asking you, what do you think, by the way? You can email us, david@hemustincrease.org, david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us at 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call, You'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid a Dynamite.
Is it really? Is it really? Okay, wait, let me do this. I got to do this line. You got me going there. Talking to Dynamite D is like looking forward to the future. Wait. Because great things are coming.
Ooh, thank you, Dave.
That's a good one. Great things are coming. Everybody's, you know, going around the corner. Some of you will know this. Eric will know this from the past. Going around the corner. Guess what's around the corner? Great things. Why? Because he's there. That's why. You don't have to know what's around the corner. You just have to know him who's already around the corner. So maybe you've got a prayer request, and maybe you've got a praise report. Maybe you've got something you want to share. Maybe you got something that's just on your heart or on your mind. That part's not the problem. We're not looking to create divisions. We're not looking to create an opportunity for people to just complain, because complaining is a sin. We're looking for people to strengthen one another, bless one another, lift one another up. We're looking for people to speak life. And sometimes we have our ideas, and sometimes other people have their ideas, but what we really want are Jesus's ideas. So it's like, I don't know how that can't be that complex. So if you want to have a prayer request or a praise report or something along those lines, great. Don't have no problems. We will absolutely walk you through it, get you through it. And if you're going to guess at trivia, we have more people guessing at trivia and understanding that they're off by a little bit. But guess what? Once you guess at something in a trivia and you get it wrong, you'll never get that wrong again. You will never. People guess, they're like, oh, oops. It's like, yeah, oops is close enough, because now you will remember that for the rest of your life.
That's one way to look at it.
That is the way to look at it. That is the – one thing you can be sure about Al, there'll be one particular question that he gets asked that he will never answer Peter again. Trust me. All right, here's your trivia question. Rather easy one. This is part of it. How many plagues did God send on Egypt? Now, if you really think, you know what, Dave, these are too easy, then I want you to give me the answer in Greek. Okay. I mean, I'm just saying.
That'll add a little spice to it.
If you want to make it harder, just do that. Okay. How do you get a hold of us? Good question. 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. How many plagues did God send on Egypt? And the answer, not enough, is not a good answer. Okay. Let's just get back on track there. So if you got something you want to share, you got something going on, okay, do so. We do have to do our DNA, because I don't think we did our DNA in the last segment, so we're going to do it right now. Here we go. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
How often is that?
Daily.
When you say daily, does that mean every day?
Every day.
Does that mean like daily?
Daily.
Wow. Just think about that. And it's not like you have a requirement to have a specified amount of time, but I'll make this super easy. Every day that you breathe in, that's a day you have to spend with the Lord. Okay, there you go. That should make that easy. And never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Luke 9:26. If you're ashamed of me and my words, when I return, I'll be ashamed of you. Bad plan. It's just a bad plan. Just stand firm in the word of God. You know, it's like, you know, people can disagree on certain principles, but you stand firm in the word of God. It doesn't bother me if somebody has a different eschatological point of view. I love it that they're using scripture as their plumb line. There you go. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which means OPM, other people matter, and you care, and you want to. And if you're not a person that's like, I don't really seem to care about other people, that, you know what? Listen, don't feel guilty. Don't let the enemy beat you up. Bring it before the Lord and say, help me to have a heart that's like yours. Nobody just gets to go, oh, I have a new heart. Everything's just hunky-dory. Woo! No, no. You need the grace of God for these things in order to carry for one another, care for one another, take care of one another, and love one another. Okay? All right. Last on the trip, and then we'll get into the teaching, which is really kind of cool teaching. How many plagues did God send on Egypt? No tricks here, nothing funny. You guys should be able to figure it out, even from the movie with Charlton Heston, you should be able to figure that out. We'll keep that there. The number call, 972-445-0770. Also text 214-210-8483 or send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. I am pulling this text out of Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7. Isaiah 50, verse 7 says this. If I say it wrong, just make sure I get this right. The Lord God will help me. Therefore, I have not been humiliated. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know I will not be put to shame. The Lord God will help me. It's Isaiah 50, verse 7, right? Therefore, I have not been humiliated. Therefore, I have set my face like flint. And I know I will not be put to shame. The Lord will help me. This, so you can know, the Lord has helped us. The Lord is helping us. And the Lord will help us. So when you read, the Lord will help me, he's looking down the road, thinking, the Lord's going to help me. He's helped me in the past. Helping me now. It's going to help me in the future. Sometimes when I pray about the finances, not just for ministry, but for myself, I just say, I just thank you for everything you've given me in the past because I'm not worthy of it. I thank you for everything that you're giving me currently. I'm not worthy of that. And I'm thanking you for everything you will give me, and I won't be worthy of that. Because that's the generosity of God. The Lord will help me. Therefore, talked about this numerous times, therefore is a conclusion. Therefore, because the Lord will help me, two major things come forward. Actually, three, but we'll just do two right now. Therefore, I have not been humiliated. In other words, what I have trusted is not for nothing. There's a reason here. There's something connected here. I'm not going to be humiliated, and that really is connected to I'm not going to be put to shame. In other words, I'm never going to be sorry for trusting God. Never, never, never going to be sorry for putting my trust in God for what is coming. You can really get into this when you understand that God has everything in his palm, designed quite differently than in our hands. And I've used this illustration. It's a poor illustration, but it's the only one I know. When people are doing those pictures where they do like crochet or whatever that thing is, where they have a picture in front of them and they put little threads in and so on and so forth. So on the front side, it's a picture with all these pretty colors and it's got a great outline. But on the underneath side, all of those stringy things hang out all over and they're different colors and they don't make a normal pattern or whatever. So from the bottom, you can't really see what the outline of the picture is on one of those things. But from the front side, you see it exactly how it's supposed to be and what the colors are. Well, our life, we spend most of our time looking at the bottom of it, while God, who's doing all of the God is having this perfect design with perfect color and perfectly outlined. But we're looking at the backside going, there's a lot of stringy stuff here, because we don't see. And then he says this, therefore I have set my face like flint. Okay, that's not from the movie Our Man Flint. Okay, just so you can know. This is like the very simplest way in Hebrew to say, I am going to persevere, period. I am going to be like a rock that becomes immovable and even sparks because I got a message for you. I'm not going to be humiliated. I'm going to have my face like flint. And God is going to come through. I'm not going to be humiliated, so it's not for nothing. And I know I'll persevere because I know why? Because he will help me. That's why I can persevere. So see all these different angles on perseverance and endurance. There's multiple things, multiple tools for us to use. We just don't use a lot of them. And it's like most of the time it has to do with perspective. Most of the time it has to do with mindset. It has to do with how we put the picture together in our mind. God will never put you in a position for you to be ashamed that you trusted in him ever in your entire existence. Okay? All right. Trivia question. How many plagues did God send on Egypt? And the answer is 10 plagues. There were 10. How many? 10. 10. Eric's answer, 10 in Greek. Okay. That's a good way to do it. Let's take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Have you ever wanted to get involved with a ministry that promotes Jesus Christ as Lord, but just don't know how? Serving in ministry is a matter of devotion, time, and talent. Are you looking for a place to try and test the waters? Do you want to get involved? Come join the Ambassadors Initiative. Be an ambassador for the David Spoon Experience. It doesn't pay great. Actually, it doesn't pay anything. But the eternal benefits are out of this world. Be a representative. Why not? It couldn't hurt. Well, we hope not anyway. You don't need to be a professionally qualified minister. You need to have a pulse. By that, we mean you need to have a heart. Just go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Click on the three lines at the top right of the website and then click on the Ambassador's Initiative link. Fill out the form and we will reach out to you. Sorry. No parking tickets will be paid for you as an ambassador through this position.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God for you and I. God provided his own burnt offering, his own lamb of sacrifice, because our presentations are not that hot. And this is where you get the understanding that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. How many? All. And the wages of sin is death. That's the result. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And God showed his love for us while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. That's the love. He was the sacrificial lamb. And if you have never made that decision, I invite you right now to make that decision to acknowledge Jesus Christ as Lord. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this is where you get John 3:16, which people will say is the gospel in a scripture, which is not far off. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That gift is available for you. And if you have never exercised that acceptance of that gift, I encourage you to do so by saying this prayer. And don't go anywhere because I got another one for all of us. Heavenly Father, I surrender my life. Lord Jesus Christ, I give you my heart. Pour out your Holy Spirit, for I believe you rose from the dead, and I confess with my mouth you died for my sins according to the scriptures. You were buried, and 3 days later you rose again. You ascended to the Father and are coming back soon, and I thank you for this new life you've given me. I praise you and pray this in your name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are now a Christian. Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. We tell you to pray for people often. Don't forget to pray for Don, who owns the station, Jennifer, who runs the station, Dynamite D, who runs the show. Okay, you guys, so you got three people you got to be praying for. D has told me that it is wet out there, which means everybody be careful if you're driving.
A little liquid sunshine.
Okay, liquid sunshine. Okay. We're getting ready for our next trivia question. I hope you guys are prepared for it. And I have some of the best jokes ever. Okay, well, I have one joke that is outstanding, but let's do the trivia question first. Here we go. So we just talked about the plagues, right? Now it's just going to get a little tougher, not too much tougher. What was the first plague on the Egyptians of those 10? What plague? So there was 10 plagues, right? Which was the first one? What is numero uno is the question in regards to the plagues. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. Every time I tell you that, I have to double-check my Chromebook. Yep, it works. Okay, just making sure. All right, in the meantime, we have done our DNA, and I do have something that's very important. Okay, all right. I have jokes. That's right, more than one. Okay, all right. All right. Some of these are very snappy. Does everybody understand what I'm trying to say? Okay, snappy, kind of like they're very short. They're all one-liners, shouldn't take too much time. What do you get when you cross a porcupine with a sheep? What do you get when you cross a porcupine with a sheep? An animal that knits its own sweaters.
Amazing.
Do you like that one? Animal that knits its own sweaters. Come on. All right. What kind of fish do you eat with peanut butter? Huh? A jellyfish. Jelly. Come on, jelly. All right, two more. The last one is my favorite joke in like 3 months, but here's the next one. What's more clever than speaking in several languages? What's more clever than speaking in several languages? Do you know what the answer is? Keeping your mouth shut in just one.
Wow! Wow! All I can say is wow!
That's hilarious. Is that not funny? All right, here's the last one. And don't tell me this isn't the funniest joke you've heard in like 2 months. Ready? How do you milk an ant? First, you get a really low stool.
Jesus!
Come on!
God! Ah! Help me, Tom Cruise!
First, you get a really low stool. Come on! How is that not funny?
I like the jellyfish one, Dave.
That's a good one, but I'm just... First, you get a really low stool. That's so funny. All right, the trivia question. That was funny. Come on, you guys. You gotta laugh. What was the first plague on the Egyptians before the Exodus? What was the very first one? That's the triv question. If you think you know the answer, where's our phone number? 972-445-0770. You also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. I do want to point out to everybody that if you did not get a chance to hear the first half hour, I think you would really enjoy it. It was a pretty good half hour. In the book of Matthew. I'm just letting you know. All right, here's our next teach. And this is also from Isaiah, not very far away. Isaiah chapter 51, verse 3. And see, this is how different people see things differently. I mean, you have to understand that when you see a movie, let's say you go to see a movie, let's say you see The Hobbit or, you know, Lord of the Rings, whatever, okay? You come back and you might sit down with five people who saw it, and you'll find out that five people have seen the movie, they understand it, but they have a different kind of take or something that they emphasize different. Now, watch this text. I want to give you a kind of a different spin, or not spin, but a different way to look at it or to see it, okay? Isaiah chapter 51, verse 3. For the Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and melodious song. Okay? What I want you to see are the two main elements in this. He will make her wilderness like Eden. So, I'll ask you a question, then you just kind of process as you think about this, as this scripture comes to mind. Have you ever found yourself in the wilderness? Have you ever found yourself in a place that was barren? Have you ever found yourself in a place where, and let's use Israel as our guidepost here, you're in a desert wandering around trying to figure out what are we doing? What's going on? Why is this journey taking 40 years when it should have taken, 40 days? What's going on here? The promise in Isaiah is God taking dirt and making it delightful, taking a canvas that's empty and making it a masterpiece, taking a piece of clay and making it so fantastic it's admired by all. God is able to take your wilderness and turn it into the Garden of Eden. Now, just let that resonate. You see, there's this process in our brain where we're thinking, you know, well, not based on worthiness. You are correct. It is not based on worthiness. It never will be based on worthiness. But what the Lord does is he says, and what's the first thing he says? The Lord will comfort Zion. So I think in other translations, it's going to be pretty close to that, right? It's like the Lord will comfort Zion. It's like, so Isaiah 51, verse 3, the Lord will comfort Zion. The Lord will settle Zion. And so in that, the first thing you have to think of is in 1 Corinthians, God is a God of comfort. Or 2 Corinthians 1, God is a God of comfort. And so you know God is the God of comfort, and the Lord's making this commitment for Zion. And most of the time when Zion's referred to in the Old Testament, it's talking about Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the capital, as the place for the people of God. And so, you know, we're in the New Jerusalem, so you can make all those connections and go, yeah, 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 that's really cool. He will comfort all her waste places. So there's even when you're just wounded, he'll comfort you. And he'll take that wilderness and make it like Eden. Then he says the desert will be turned into a garden. Besides the lushness of a garden, and we've mentioned this multiple times, there's a garden in the beginning, Garden of Eden. There's a garden where Jesus went, Gethsemane. There's a garden in the new heavens and the new earth. It's just like, wow. And so the Lord's like, hey, I'm going to make it lush. You're going to hang out with me. And then look what he says. Joy and gladness. I know Joanne heard that. Joy and gladness will be found. It's like, oh, hello. And thanksgiving and melodious or wondrous songs. Joy and gladness will be found. That means there's hope. And right now, some of you feel hopeless. And here's the answer. The answer is the Lord. He will comfort you. He will bring the joy. He will get you through. It's a forward-thinking process. It's a looking ahead to. The Lord's going to take that desert and turn it into a garden, going to take that wilderness, turn it into the Garden of Eden, and that's going to produce thanksgiving in your heart. And he's going to do all of that because he's awesome. Not because you're great, but because he's great. And you're one of his. You get from God because he's generous. That's why. And you just look at it and go, yowza. Now think about this. Your life is like that painting that has nothing on it. It starts with a canvas. But God slaps a couple colors on there and you're like, nah, 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 nah. And by the time he's done, you're a masterpiece. By the way, Ephesians 2:10 says that we are the workmanship, which in the Greek means masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. Isn't that cool? It's like, wow. Okay. And I need a few of my wilderness places to turn into Edens. I need that. Because there's a lot of dirt in some of them.
Don't we all, Dave? Don't we all? If we're being honest with ourselves.
Yeah. No, you just look at it and you think, there's a couple areas I'm doing great in. A couple areas are like, yikes. A little bit of dusty, dirty, not a lot of stuff growing there kind of thing. Get it? All right. What was the first plague on the Egyptians before the Exodus? The answer, the water turned to blood. You know, water starts off the whole process because without water, there ain't a lot of life. Woo, think about that. Without water, there ain't a lot of life. Woo, maybe that's why the world is three-quarters water. All right, I'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
He's not trying to communicate in a weird sense. He's telling everybody that's there when they're like, hey, dude, your mom and your bros, man, out there, right here. They're coming right here. And Jesus is like, you know who my mom and my bros are? They're the people that hear the word of God and do it. And we had a presidential candidate not too long ago, I will not name him, who specifically, and nobody can tell me he didn't say it because I heard every word, specifically said we got to make our three priorities, family, faith, and friends. That guy is so wrong, I thank God Almighty he never became president. Why? Because family does not come before faith. If it does, you are in trouble. Jesus said in Matthew 10:27, if you love your father or mother more than you love me, you are not worthy of being mine. Uh-oh. This is like, well, he didn't mean it. Oh, because then he said this right after. Or if you love your son and daughter more than me, you are not worthy of being mine. I didn't mean that either. It's like, see, you can't get away from it. Because you love your mother, you love your father, you love your son, you love your dad, you love anybody more than me, you are in trouble. Okay? Here's the bottom line. There's nothing wrong with family. There's nothing wrong with friends. But they are behind your faith. Your faith is first. You want to know why? You want me to give you the math on the whole issue? Yeah, I'm going to give you the math. You know, I mean, numbers don't lie. It's just people who use numbers that lie. Okay, here you go. Ready? 80, 90, or 100 years versus 60 billion, gazillion, trazillion years. Which one's bigger? Okay, 80, 90 years, 100 years. That's family and friends. Your faith, a zillion, bazillion, gazillion, trazillion, a bazillion years. Get it? Math doesn't lie. It's just the people that use math. So, don't forget that. Statistics don't lie. It's just the people that do them. You know, studies don't lie. It's just the people that write them.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. You guys have been doing fantastic, by the way, on trivia. So I want to say thank you for as well as you've been doing. And thank you for putting up for everything we do with, you know, the stuff we do on the show. There's some stuff that's goofy. But there's some stuff that's really genuinely right for us to use before the Lord. So I appreciate you guys hanging with us and doing that. Here's your next trivia question. A little harder, but not too tough, but a little harder. Last one will be easy, but not this one. How old was Moses when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt? How old was Mo? That's right, Mo. When he led the children of Israel out of Egypt, Joanne and Cordelia. Boom, 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 boom. 972-445-0770 would be their number to call. 214-210-8483 would be the text-a-rooney. And then david@hemustincrease.org would be the email. Now, right here, and if we get the chance to, I'm going to send you towards the website. So I don't want to beat the horse, so to speak, but we're a little low on the funding, okay? We could use some funds. If you got it, great. If you don't, be praying, because if you don't, then you'll hear. And that's boring.
I don't hear nothing, Dave.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything. So we're going to send you the website, and then we'll do the trivia on that. Check out hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
I was ready to take off, man.
I love it. Just like, that is just so funny. All right, somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
This is your little brother who won't be going away.
That's a good answer, because people should not just be going away, right?
Yes, that's right.
Unless the Lord goes, then we can all go away.
Yeah.
That would be just fantastic. Yeah. All right, let's do the trivia question first. Ready? How old was Mo when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt?
Moshe was 80 years old.
That is correct, Amanda! He was 80 years old. So I've had the opportunity to talk to people, and people who are not necessarily even Christians, and we have this discussion. This is one of those things where you get to talk to people about the Lord. So I've talked to people there, and they're like, well, I'm getting older and so on and so forth. And then I'll use this. I'll say, well, Moses didn't start his real job until he was 80. He didn't do his real job till the last third of his life. It's like people are like, oh, wow. You know, it's like, and that opens the door to talk about other things. But I'm just saying that's a great way to do it. How you doing, man?
Good, good. I want to share a testimony.
Yeah.
A cool testimony.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you guys been praying for me for a second car. And guess what? Yesterday, Lord has blessed us with a second car that we were desperately waiting for last 2 years. So all glory to God. And he's
been answered
our prayer.
Amen. That is fantastic. So that's just the kind of thing that people think, well, I know we prayed about that a little bit ago. It's like, just listen, the Lord knows it's perfect timing, right? And it's like the perfect timing, the right time, the right way. It's like we want God to answer our way, but when he answers his way, it's so smooth. Congratulations, brother. That's awesome.
And it's the right size of car that we were looking for.
Oh.
I mean, we wasn't able to afford it, but our Heavenly Father can.
Amen, brother. Great testimony. Thank you so much for sharing that. That blesses me.
Good. And just want to let you know that I'm praying for you and Nicole and our audience.
You got it. Love you, brother.
I love you, too.
All right,
okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. He meant Noel, by the way.
I thought so. I said, well, maybe
no.
This is a nickname.
This is the funniest thing about Noel and I, just so you can know, just real quickly, okay? I tell people my last name is Spoon, right? Because it's just right. Do you know what half the time they say to me? I'm not. You think I'm kidding. I'm not. If they're not reading it, you know what they say?
What's that, Dave?
Are you Mr. Stone? That's what they say.
Wow.
I go, no. I go,
not
nope.
quite.
That's why I have to go fork. You know, my name is Spoon, like a fork.
You have to
kind of go. And then Noel, they call her, half the people call her Nicole, which is like so funny.
That is funny.
It's one of those weird things. We laugh all the time.
I said, maybe
like
that was her nickname. That's what I said in my mind.
Yeah. She's just got that cool, you know. All right, let's go into, it's okay, brother, you don't have to worry. People do that all the time. Let's go into let's go into the DVD.
Is
let's
it
put
Blu-ray?
It in. Everybody, take a look. No. Well, let's go to the DDD, and then we'll do the history in the next segment, okay? Because this is the one in Jeremiah, and it takes a little more time. All right, this is called The Folly of Plenty. The Folly of Plenty, Jeremiah 44. You got to listen, because this is going to get a little intense for a little bit, right? I'm going to Jeremiah 44, 16 through 18. As for the word, these are people responding to Jeremiah. As for the word you spoke to us in the name of the Lord, we are not going to listen to you. Instead, we will do everything we said we would. Burn incense to the Queen of Heaven, offer drink offerings to her, just as we, our fathers, our kings, and our officials did in Judah's cities and in their streets. Then we had enough food and good things and saw no disaster. But from the time we ceased to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to offer her drink offerings, we have lacked everything. All right. This is like a very tough portion of scripture. This is a very serious rebuke. They say, we will do everything we did before. Basically, what they're telling the prophet Jeremiah is, we're not listening to you. Now, it might even be one thing to say this to a prophet, but boy, you know, people said this to Jesus. It's like, just think about, wow, we're not going to do what you say. Okay, good luck. Adam didn't listen. Look how that turned out. Burning incense was to and drink to Ashtoreth. That's the false god, also known as the Queen of Heaven. Ashtoreth, or some people say Ashtoreth. It's Ashtoreth. Like our fathers, our kings, our officials, some family and leadership examples. Now listen to what I say to you. Should not be followed. Listen to what I say right now. some leadership examples should not be followed. You know who is doing all this, offering incense, burning incense, and drinking to Esdras? Was the fathers, the kings, and the officials. Sometimes you do not follow them. That's what you just got to look at and go, nah, that's stupid. That's just wrong. That's biblically wrong, period. And you don't even, it's not a rocket science thing. I don't care if the person's a president or a senator or a leader or a community. It doesn't matter. When they do or say something that's not biblical, it's wrong. That's not speaking evil. So people say, you can't say anything about a leader. It's not what it says. It says you can't curse. Evil speaking, speaking evil is cursing them. I'm not cursing somebody by saying that's not biblical. I'm not following that. I want to just do what Elisha did when he said, hey, if it wasn't for the other king, I wouldn't even look at you. I love that. That's the only thing I want to be able to do. Anyway, God doesn't let me do that yet, but that's not the point. All right, so they're going back then. We had plenty. There were no problems. Food was good. Things were good. No disasters. But since we stopped, we're lacking everything. That's how they perceive. That's how what people do is they take their situation and they – everybody does the same thing. They dissect it. They look at what happened, right? They're evaluating. This is how it was. This is what we did. This is how it is. So if we do this, what we did before, this will be this. I mean, this is their process. Here's God's response. Because you burned incense and sinned against the Lord and didn't obey the Lord's voice and didn't walk in his law, his statutes, and his testimonies, this disaster has come upon you as you see today. What they're thinking their answer is, watch this, is the exact reason why God is judging them. The Bible says there's the way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the way of death. Another passage says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And so you think of these things and you go, as a society, We got to do better because all the things that are being done brought the suffering. And so if we as a culture go into this godless scenario, and that's right, whether you're a Christian in the culture or not, if the culture dominates and the sin is prevailing, there's going to be a judgment. And you think, well, that hasn't happened. It happens all the time. All we know is as it's getting worse, God will apparently, or maybe we're wrong about this, but as the worst part gets worse and worse, that means that the judgment's going to get worse and worse. And if we think we've seen judgment to this point on this planet, there's a judgment coming that's lights out beyond anything we've ever even imagined. Will we be here? Hope not. If we're here, you're not going to lose faith, are you? You can still maintain your position, right? If the theologies aren't exact, you're not going to abandon anything. After all, it wasn't like they didn't know the scriptures. They didn't really have a relationship with God, but they weren't unaware of the scriptures pointing to the first Messiah, and they missed him by a country mile. So watch the arrogance. The point is this. The things that people do, they think that this is what makes everybody, you know, healthy and wealthy and wise. And the very thing they're doing is going to bring judgment from God, where they will find out that disaster comes because of their defiance. That's why we got to pray for our nation. That's why you got to pray for the leaders, not for God to wrap them up in a boat and send them off somewhere. Yes, I've been through that process too. I'm not saying that you don't ever feel that way. I'm just saying, yeah, it's not the right process. You got to pray for them. I remember I did a video. I'm just telling you right now, I did a video when Trump was the president. I did a video. It's like, well, Christians ought to be praying for him. I had Christians going, no, God should kill him. It's like, what is wrong with you people? It's like, you just can't do this. Like that. You can't be a Christian and do that. That doesn't work. You certainly, what you want to do is have God change hearts, right? Okay. The folly that we put this country in comes from the folly and the ridiculousness that we do. Now, if that's true for a nation, can I just point this out to you individually? Isn't that likely to be true for our own lives? So if we do something that's defiant towards the Lord, Is that going to stop you from going into eternity? No. But do you want to bring more disaster on the earth for yourself while you're here? Isn't there enough here already? Or do we want to add to that? Oh, Dave. Be nice, Dave. That is being nice. That's not what I wanted to say. See? That's nice. All right. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
I'm not going to do an overriding teaching that will make the Baptists or the Church of Christ proud, so neither one of you groups can be all excited about this because that's not the purpose of this. Here's where we're picking it up. As verse 34 ends, the eunuch asks Philip, what was Isaiah talking about, himself or someone else? Verse 35 from Acts chapter 9. Chapter 8 says, Philip began with the same scripture and then began to tell him about the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there is some water. Why can't I be baptized? So let's just stop right there. When Philip was explaining the gospel to the eunuch, he had to include the understandings or the teachings of baptism, or the eunuch never would have said, why can't I be baptized? He never would have said it, never would have come up, unless Philip had brought that information to light. In multiple translations, it then says, you can, Philip answered, if you believe with all your heart. And the eunuch replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This is often known as believer's baptism. Some texts will show this in the footnote. I disagree that it should be reduced to the footnote. I think it's a part of the text. I would not fellowship with you over that. I just think it is a part of the text because he asks a very pointed question. And in this exchange, Philip is giving a very pointed answer. So he's like, well, there's some water. I want to be baptized. I want to respond to the gospel. I want to say yes. And Philip responds by saying, you can. You can get baptized. As long as you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you can be baptized. Now, why that's important is because this is the difference between many different groups about who can be baptized. Some people think, well, a child can be baptized. Yeah, but a child can't believe in Jesus, so then how can a child be baptized? That's the argument, okay? Those, again, those are not fellowship issues. Those are disagreements. You know, I spent 10 minutes talking about understanding who's got the Spirit of God and who doesn't have the Spirit of God. When you have a difference of application of Scripture, that person's not an evil person. They're not some kind of demonic whatever. They see something different than you. Okay. They're genuinely in a relationship with Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is what redeems us. They are acknowledging their heavenly Father, praying, Our Father who art thou in heaven. They drink of the same Holy Spirit. They come to a different conclusion. Yeah. What else is new? Does everybody think McDonald's is the best fast food? Are you kidding? There's only a few people.
If Jesus.
Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Everybody doing an excellent job. This last trivia question, kind of easy, okay? And being honest, right? Kind of easy. You guys should know this. If you don't know this, you should know this. How about that's a nice way to say it? So that's really nice. But don't, if you're driving, keep concentrate on your driving because of the weather and stuff, okay? What sea did the people cross on dry land? What was the name of the sea? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. Also, you can text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. We are going to do history because history is important. So let's do history.
Let's go live in the past. Let's go live in the past.
All right, there's a couple of absolutely classic things here on today's history. Number one, it's National Churro Day, and I like churros.
Churros are pretty good, pretty sweet, right?
Yeah, pretty sweet. I mean, you like them more at the carnivals and fairs than typical, but that's just me. It's National Applesauce Cake Day, so that's cake made with applesauce.
Applesauce cake.
No, yeah, Noelle's a big applesauce fan.
I like applesauce too.
Yeah, okay. National Drive-In Movie Day. Those are gone. Have you ever been to a drive-in?
I have, Dave.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, they had one. I don't know if we can say it, but out in Ennis. I think it's still there, and I went a couple years ago.
Oh, I mean, it's just like so. I mean, that used to
be. I love that. It's different because you don't see them that much.
We won't talk about all of them that I went to when I was younger, but let's say I paid for most of them. all right. And then today is also National Yo-Yo Day, which I personally feel is every day because I feel there's a lot of up and down. Okay. Finally, let's see. In 1844, the YMCA is founded. And in 1833, Andrew Jackson became the first United States president to ride a train.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. It's like, wow. It's train, man. Was it that exciting? I guess it could be exciting back then.
Well, sure, though, because it was probably new, right?
Yeah. Okay. Sure. More fun riding a boat. Anyhow, and that goes all the way back to Noah. All right. Anyway, just point that out. All right. Trivia question. I'll leave it there. Here it is. What sea did the people cross on dry land? So you know they went across the sea when they were doing the Exodus. What was it? No, they didn't walk in muddy water. And no, they didn't. No, it wasn't low tide water. Or God killed an entire army in low tide. Okay, that didn't happen. If you're thinking, well, what's the name of the sea? You guys should know that. 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email to david@hemustincrease.org. I do want to give Ginny and Joanne Tide props. That means that Ginny tied for two pawpaws today. Very nice. And then also I think Joanne and Cordelia had two. So very nice. You guys are doing great. Here's your last text. Ready? Abraham added a little pirate twang to that. Very funny. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. What? Another? There's like four Old Testament teachings today. Right. And there were five Old Testament trivia questions. There we go. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10. This is so good. These are those greatest, coolest things ever, right? Who among you fears the Lord, listening to the voice of his servant? Who among you walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. Let him lean on his God. I mean, should this not just be in a plaque somewhere, right? Who among you, see the question? Okay, so this question is actually directed at people that do believe in God. Just in case you're wondering, these are not people that don't believe in God. These are actually people that do believe in God. Who among you fears the Lord, right? Who among you, wait. Who among you listening, who fears the Lord, listening to the voice of his servant? So when somebody speaks in the name of the Lord, you're like going, I want to pay attention. What's the Lord saying? I want to hear what's going on. Who among you walks in darkness and has no light? Here's the part that you have to love so much. Who among you is all of us who have a love for the Lord? But who among you walks in darkness and has no light? That's for those of us who are feeling what? Directionless. We don't know where to go. The walk in darkness and has no light is not talking about the life of darkness because you already fear the Lord. You're walking, not aimlessly, but you don't actually know where you're going. Here's the great part. Let him lean on his God. Because when you lean on God, watch this. When you trust in the name of the Lord, watch this. You get a flashlight from heaven. So you're walking in darkness, right? But you love the Lord. You're just trying to find out where to go, and you can't see what you're supposed to do, and you're not sure. So here's what you're supposed to do. You trust in the name of the Lord, and you lean on him. Lean. So to trust means we make a choice between fear and faith. They said we're going, nope, going to absolutely trust, going to lean. That's a faith decision that moves into the trust. And to lean means we're leaning on his stability, not our stability, because if you lean on your stability, you'll fall over.
What chapter are we in, Dave?
Chapter 50, verse 10. And so what I want you to catch out of this is that when you trust, you make a choice. And when you lean, you put your weight on, right? Do you ever lean against a wall? What do? When you lean against the wall? You be on 1 foot or 2 feet. You just put all your weight, your back or whatever, your front, your side, whatever. It doesn't matter. That's what you do on God. Put all your weight on him, even if you're super thin or if you're super heavy. Doesn't matter. Put all your weight on him. Trust, which is making a choice, and do that in the Lord. Why does all that matter? I'll tell you why. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, who everybody knows should be tattooed in the inside of our eyelids. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart is decision to trust God on the inward, from the inward man. It's not an intellectual assent. And lean not on your own understanding is how you know it's not an intellectual assent. You understand how that works? In other words, it's all that's inside you. I'm on the Lord, leaning on the Lord, trusting all the way over there because I can't lean on my understanding because I'm an idiot. That's what I say. You don't have to say that. You can just say I'm not knowledgeable or whatever. That's fine. I call myself an idiot because I'm an idiot. Here's the part that we got to get. God will give us the flashlight. And you think, well, when? When he wants you to see what the next step is. And not 1 second before or 1 second after. Did you get that? Oh, come on. But Lord, I just want a glow stick. No. But Lord, wait. Don't do it in your own understanding. Make the decision to trust on him. Put all your weight on him. He will give you the flashlight at the right moment. What sea did the people cross on dry land? The answer is red, the Red Sea. Exodus 13, verse 18. Okay, folks, you're done for today. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed on the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.